was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold, why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome, welcome again to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and we're going to bring another exciting show to you here today on the Tony Sands Show. I'm going to tell you, some of the topics that we're going to have for you today is going to blow your mind. That's right, I said it's going to blow your mind from a standpoint. We're going to talk big money business in college football. When I say big money business, big money, a $1 billion industry in the nonprofit business. That's why I said universities are nonprofit, but they're flipping anywhere from $50 million to $100 million clearing after payout. I'm going to tell you, these are topics that you're going to want to get into, because if you have a son that's playing college football at some of these big name schools, it's going to affect you as a parent some way or another, because we're going to talk about how universities are paying coaches off at an alarming rate to win at all costs, and at the cost of your son's misery. That's right, at the cost of your son's misery. These are topics that we're going to get into. I'm going to bring Mr. Vivens on out of the great state of Texas. We're going to talk about Texas football. They're deep into the playoffs. We're going to get into a little of that. Man, we're going to get into which quarterback class in the NFL is the best ever. There was only two classes that's being talked about now, and that's the 1983 class and the 2012 class. If you're listening here to the Tony Sands Show, I want you to get on your computers and look at the 1983 draft class. Look at the guys that came out of that class. And then look at your 2012 class. If you want to chime in on any of the topics that we have, you can call us here at 530-413-9537. That's line one. Or you can call us at 530-513-6472. That's line two. That's right. I said 530-413-9537 is line one, and 530-513-6472, line two. But without further ado, let's bring on the best woman in the business when it comes to college athletics, college recruiting, the best state, one of the women here in this business that help more guys get placed in school than anyone in the country. But before we do that, let's bring on the U song and let's hype it up. Get it ready, because it is our high school hour that we're going to talk. So we're going to get it ready for you. Are you ready for the U? Let's hit it.
Still be a baby.
Back to the Tony Sands Show. I love that song, man. It describes what a college athlete needs to become you ready. What I mean, you ready. I know some of you people are thinking I'm saying about the University of Miami when I say you ready. But are you ready for any university that is going to come and recruit you to play college sports? You got to have quick feet. Can you move? Can you go? But without further ado, let's bring to the show my girl, my main lady, that's worked harder than anybody, Julie Corona. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Julie, I'm doing fine, man. I, Julie, I am doing great. Anytime I can hear your voice come across here on the Tony Sands Show, I am doing fine. But you know, let me tell you something. It's been some things that's been going on here in college sports that is blowing my mind from a standpoint of the kinds of monies that are being thrown around and thrown out here at the college level for a non, for these are, I don't know if people really understand, Julie, that universities are nonprofit organizations. And if anybody know anything about a nonprofit organization, you know more about nonprofit organizations than a lot of people because you, your family have your own nonprofit organization. Give us a little insight on nonprofit organizations.
Well, nonprofit, there's all different types of nonprofits. I mean, mostly what's used, you know, is a 501c3 entity where there's different playing rules, but a lot of that has to be tracked and followed. And, you know, you have to set up different strategic plans of how many dollars are allowed to come into your foundation and how many are allowed to go out. You can't just bring in an exorbitant amount of money without being classified as such when you start your 501c3.
And you said the amount of money going in and the amount of money going out must be watched and tracked, correct?
Correct.
Now, who is tracking and who is watching the monies that's going in and going out?
Well, technically, you know, it's the federal government because that's who you go through to get a 501c3 because people obtain write-offs for those things. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, not everybody's watching until maybe a complaint comes through or dollars aren't filed properly. And when you set up a 501c3, what people don't really understand is there's an allocating dollar for administrative fees as well. So okay. A lot of times people will use that administrative fee as paying themselves, and maybe more is actually going to that person doing administrative than is actually going out to actually benefit whatever is, you know, their endeavor, whatever it is that they're saying that this is where the dollars are going to.
Okay, now, when you're talking about a big money industry such as the NCAA, And universities, let's say we're going to say universities, that are paying coaches out at $5-6 million, then they got to pay their assistants out at $4 million, and that, you know, is spread across the board of all the assistants. That's a lot of money going in and out, especially when you're saying some schools are clearing $50 and $60 million. That's a lot of money going in and out. And who is watching that kind of money? Who keeps track of that type of money that's moving around?
Well, obviously, if it's under the umbrella of a college or things like that, the colleges are also, you know, to know where these dollars are going.
Correct. And that's, they got to know where they're going. But let's tap into when I say, you know, buyouts and things of that nature. Because we, as you know, this Monday was, you know, it's considered Black Monday. Not this Monday, but the Monday before was considered Black Monday. And people, what we mean by Black Monday, there's a lot of coaching changes that goes on when they call Black Monday.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Julie, one of the coaching changes that blew my mind today, that's probably, I mean, blew a lot of people's mind across the landscape of college football, is Mario Cristobal.
I died when I heard that today.
That's right, people.
That's
Mario Cristobal,
the most unheard of one. Yes.
Mario Cristobal was let go here at FIU. At FIU, let him go. You go from 1 year being one of the hottest coaches in the industry, and you say, I'm going to be loyal to this university, and I'm going to stay because Mario Cristobal had options to go to Pittsburgh. A lot of several places
Rutgers.
Coming off last season. Coming off
Rutgers.
Last season, Julie.
Yes.
So I'm staying loyal to you. And all of a sudden, in 1 year, I'm fired. I am fired. Wow. That blew my mind. Blew my mind. How did Where's the loyalty when it comes from, when it comes to college sports? Is there any loyalty, Julie?
I don't know. I mean, as this game goes on, I'm pretty much saying there isn't. You know, it's such a crazy world, and, you know, we teach our kids to be loyal. I mean, that's a standard thing that we teach our kids as young people, you know, growing up. But I think the whole game changes when you look at college football. I don't know that there is loyalty in that.
I agree.
The universities themselves. I mean, I think it's really on the university. I don't know how loyal they are. You know, it comes down to the dollars. Everything comes down to money.
And then, like we say, the one thing universities always say is that you got to be loyal to the university. You got to be loyal to the university. You got to stay loyal. But the people at the top are saying one thing, but doing another. And people, why are we so, you're saying, you're probably saying to yourself, well, these coaches, you know, they get buyouts and they go $5 million, $6 million, and they go on about their business. These guys are coaches, and they want to coach. Don't nobody want on their resume that I was fired. Take, for instance, FIU. FIU went from one win in 2007 all the way up to 8 wins in 2011, went to 2 bowl games. Unfortunately, this season, they finished 3-9, and the administration decided to make a change. Wow. Have you gone that high that you feel, because you have 3-9 season this season, that you can make moves like this? FIU, not to say anything, but we are not Alabama. We are not Nebraska. We are not Oklahoma. We haven't gotten to that pinnacle of our college football, FIU. I think this is a slap in this man's face. I think it hurts those young men last year or the year before that decided they wanted to go to FIU. They wanted to play up under Mario Cristobal, and now there's no Mario Cristobal here at FIU. What am I to do as a college athlete?
I don't think any of them felt that there were any issues, and I believe that none of the recruits that they've recruited this year believe that there were any issues. This morning when they wake up and they hear, you know, later on throughout the day, their whole recruiting changes now. Recruiting will change.
Julie, wow. Wow. When we say change, I mean change. How do you wake up in the morning and say, okay, my coach is in his office, everything is going smooth, and all of a sudden, I hear through the grapevine, or I hear it on Facebook or whatever, all of a sudden my coach is fired. Do you know what goes through a college athlete's mind when you hear that?
Oh, yeah. Their whole world changes. It goes upside down. What they first thought was security, where they were going, now all of a sudden we're in, what, December? And they're to make a decision in February now, then some of these kids have been committed for 6 months, a year. Their whole world changes.
And it's going to hurt FIU in recruiting.
Oh, it's going to definitely hurt FIU in recruiting.
It's going to, you go here, this going into December, signing day is in two, three months, February. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now, you have no head coach in place. And it's going to take you about 2-3 weeks to get a head coach in place. To me, and I still say, and I say it till I'm blue in the face, assistant coaches don't go out and recruit as hard for a university when they know that they might not be there. They don't do it, and they won't do it. And I don't understand, because now I'm sitting in my office making sure that I am protecting myself, because I just watched what happened to my head coach at one point when I woke up this morning and we thought we was old. Okay, but we're not.
Exactly.
We're not. What, and see, Julie, do you get a lot of calls from parents after the fact of a situation like this? You know, my kid's looking to transfer, he's looking to get out of here.
Yes. Because what they believed was to be when they started, and especially I believe in this situation, because there was no indication. There was nothing to even remotely lead to what happened today. I believe that a lot of kids will look to transfer. I believe that their commitment list will go down half of what it was automatically. And parents at that point have no idea what to do. Then these kids will go and they'll start contacting other schools that had maybe recruited them previously to find out that they're already full. They can't take anymore. So it leaves the kid at square one.
But now, Judah, say, and this has always been my answer to stop a lot of the buyouts, to stop a lot of coaches moving around, things of this nature. In a case like this, why don't they give a kid, why don't you give the kids at these universities the option that they can leave, being that their coach just got fired? Do they have that option?
No. Not unless, you know, the instance of Penn State where there were major infractions and things of that nature. That's the only time. Otherwise, the kids, if they want to leave the university, will end up having to pay a penalty of sitting out for 1 year or dropping down in, you know, in classification.
But it's not fair to – and see, I think that'll stop a lot of this. I guarantee it will. It'll stop a lot of the moving around. But when the kids are at the lowest – to me, the kids are the lowest on the totem pole. The lowest on the totem pole. You guys have no say-so. Just play football and make us a lot of money. Just shut up and make us a lot of money.
Yeah.
Until these type of legislation.
But their fight is, well, they picked it. You know, what will happen is people will say, well, you know, those kids were supposed to pick it just for the university and the school itself. Because they always talk about that.
Let's take back this.
Know that that's not what happened.
At all. I look at how the University of Miami built themselves up to where they built up. When they built up, the city of Miami built up. High rises started going up when the University of Miami was winning. If you watch that 30 for 30 special, those high rises went up as the University of Miami went up. And things like that will continue to happen. Take me instance, I see Arkansas coach got his 6 year, $3.2 million per year by Arkansas.
Yeah.
Wow. And then if they want to get rid of
that's almost becoming the standard.
Yeah.
It really is.
Julie, I remember when head coaches were making $100,000 a year, and that was considered a lot of money. A lot of money. Now you're saying $3.2 million.
Yeah.
Wow. And if they wanted to get rid of him, it begins at $12.8 million. Wow. That's a lot of money. When the University of Kansas got rid of Turner Gill, they had to pay him within 90 days, they had to pay Turner Gill $9 million. $9 million. That's a lot of money going on, a lot of money being moved around. But the guys that brings this kind of money in don't see much of it to a standpoint. Everybody's getting rich but the college athlete.
Right.
And that's sad. That is sad to me because these guys are seeing this kind of money, and I know it tweaks their mind, and these guys can't even sell a trophy if they got it. They can't even sell their own jersey. They can't sell their own jersey or they're being punished. They coach leaving and they decided they want to jump ship and go to another school. They're being punished. They got to sit out. They're being punished all the way around in this game that we call college football. I'm hearing word now that there's a possibility that Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy, well, he has been possibly offered the job through word of mouth, that, you know, there's a possibility that Tennessee has offered him the job at Tennessee from Oklahoma State. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I think that he, I think
it was a power move. Julie, that was what we call, everybody's getting paid. I'm going to do a power move. I'm going to let my agent put out there that, hey, Tennessee's offering me the job.
Right, right.
Now Oklahoma State got to come back to the table and say, okay, hey, Boone Pickens. Boone Pickens, guys, if you don't know that name, look it up. That's one of a billionaire that stands behind Oklahoma State football. And this guy has money. Big money. Huge money. And I guarantee you, Mike Gundy goes nowhere. He gets what he wants. He gets his payout.
Yeah, Charlie Strong, what he's saying. I mean, you know, and then I think all these coaching changes that are going on, and you know, let's just be honest. I mean, I think in some instances, the coaches are trying to protect themselves too. Because at the drop of a dime, if they have a bad season, you know, the schools can come in and just say, we're not keeping you anymore. And they have families and they have, you know, longevity. All of these things come into play.
Julie, I heard a piece today. I was watching a piece, and we're going to play. I want to play about a minute of this piece. We're going to play a minute of this piece because I got to let people hear what was being talked about on ESPN. My engineer got it ready. Let's listen to this piece first. Let's listen to this.
Best interest of the students and the institution with respect to educating young people. We've got schools leaving conferences, getting out of relationships, severing relationships, suing each other. But you know, Colorado happens to be one of those schools that left their conference to go to another because of the money and the television contracts. So what we're seeing is what people have been talking about for over 100 years. The Carnegie Report talked about the commercialism and professionalism of college sports back in 1929, and here we are in 2012 still having the same conversation. Paul?
Well, with all due respect, and I like what you're saying, idealistically, I agree with it, but the reality is that we are talking about professional sports here. The Wall Street analogy is interesting. The only difference between a Wall Street company in Alabama and Notre Dame is that Alabama and Notre Dame don't have a stock price.
And if you heard, now, Julie got a chance. You heard that.
Yeah, and I say, wow.
It is what it is. Like they said, technically, Julie, we're talking professional sports because it's bringing in the type of money that professional entities bring in. It's just at the college level, and they hide behind three words, NCAA. That's what they hide behind to justify. And these are nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations. But now let the kids start talking. Hey, we want something here. Wait a minute. You guys are amateurs. Stay amateurs. Because if you say you're more than an amateur, okay, you're at risk of losing your scholarship. This thing has gotten out of hand, out of hand, out of hand. And what happens is once one coaching move goes on, Julie, it's a trickle-down effect throughout college sports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yep.
There's a lot of kids going to wake up tomorrow, woke up this morning, waking up, finish training this afternoon. And
you know, Tony, all I ever hear, and this is a thing that bothers me, it's always supposed to be about the kid or the player, but they're always the last one on the list.
They are. I mean,
they're the last ones that people consider. They, you know, people say, well, we are, you know, we are concerned for our student body. We are concerned for our student athletes. But you know what? Who consoles them when things like this happen? Seriously.
No one,
when these kids are all the way across the country, they're not home, all these things happen. What happens to those kids, seriously, on an emotional level?
But, Julie, you say, what happens to the kids? If you got a child that's over 1,200 miles away, your child calls you, Mom, Dad, what do I do? Your heart goes out for your child. So now, that issue at that university has become the issue in your household. Topic of conversation, because now I got to start looking out for the best interests of my son and see what I do. Because if he stays there, and it naturally occurs all the time, when a new coach comes in, his mind is that this is why y'all was losing. I'm bringing in my guys. We're going to win. Now he start pushing other coaches' guys to the back burner. Because he want to surround himself with his guys. The kids are always done unfairly at the college level. And until something gets done, it is an ugly business. It is a nasty business. And that's why I call them the Debos of football. One thing about the NCAA, about the NFL. NFL got a union. So there's a fight back and forth at some point for a player.
Right.
At the college level, there is no fight. So what? They don't care. There's no fight. Period. No fight
they
whatsoever.
They don't have a say. They have no voice.
Exactly.
There is no voice.
Not a one. Not a one. Not a one. Not a voice. Not nothing. Not nothing. Hey, it's been nice. It's been a good time, baby girl. We're gonna go to a commercial break, and I gotta head over to Texas. Hey, I'm gonna call you because we gotta get deeper into this recruiting thing for our topic of discussion for next week. Because so many people want to know how do they get their kids prepared for if they're a 2014 kid now, so when coaches come in, they can be ready. But that's our topic for next week. Jules, pleasure to have you on. I'll call you once the show go off. And we'll get into some other things that me and you got to talk to off the air.
All right, Tony. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you, baby girl. My pleasure. We're going to run this commercial, guys, and we're going to get back with Mr. Bibbs out of Texas and talk some Texas football here on The Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Sensational parties and more by Clandra Sands, where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversary, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward, and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Back here on the Tony Sands Show once again. I told you I love that song. That's why we gotta continue to play it, because I love it. I love it. Rise to the top. But we was showing you how college football is rising to the top and leaving the college athletes on the bottom. But if you want to charm in on some of our topics, call us here at 530-413-9537. That's 530-413-9537, line one. Line two, you can call us here at 530-513-6472. That's line two, 530-513-6472. But without further ado, my main man, Mr. Bibbs here, our college insider here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome, Mr. B, to the Tony Sands Show.
What's going on, Tony?
Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's been an interesting week. When I say interesting, very interesting. I'm watching all the moves that are going on at the college level. A lot of moves.
Right. Yeah, definitely. A lot of these coaches getting the big paychecks, right?
I mean, they walking, and they walking with a lot of money. If the kids walk, they get punished. You got to sit out. You got to sit out.
Certainly.
There's always punishment on the kids, and there's no punishment on the university or the coach. These guys, if they leave a university to fire them, they decide to go else, they get their payout, and they go on about their business. A kid leaves.
And you know what's crazy about that, Tony, is these kids, these universities will be nowhere without these student athletes.
And they know
and the student athletes are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to athletics at these universities. I don't understand that at all.
I'm gonna tell people what it reminds me of. This is what it reminds me of, guys. And I know people are going to say, how could he put that type of analogy together with college football? It reminds me, you're sitting around the house, you and your family eating at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Your dog is looking in the window. Okay, he's looking in the window of your sliding door, watching you guys eat. He's watching you guys get fat. And you go and get a can. You open it. And you sit it at the sliding door, and you shut the sliding door. But you want to call me part of your family. Or I let you in, and I throw a crumb on the ground, and I let you eat it off the ground. Because that's what's going on in college football, B. That's what's happening in college football. These kids are either looking on the side, looking in the sliding door, watching the athletic directors, the presidents, the head coaches, even the assistant coaches get fat, and guess what? Their stomach is growling. They're growling. They want something in their stomach. They want to be able to have money to take their girls out to the movies. This is a young man. He's 20-something years old. How do you tell your girlfriend you can't take her to the movies because the NCAA won't allow you to work, so you have no money? Especially if you come from a family that can't afford it, B. You understand what I'm saying to you? They can't afford it. They can't afford to send their child any much money. So now what you do as a young man, your girl telling you, hey, man, you got to take me to the movies. You got to do some things with me. My friend that goes to the university, her boyfriend taking her out everywhere. What kind of pressure that puts on a young man?
And you know what's crazy, Tony, man? I had a couple of guys that I went to school with when I was in college that was going through that same predicament. They were They're basically putting their lives on the line every week to go out here and play for the school, and the school wasn't giving them anything back in return, and there's no guarantee that they were going to make it to the NFL to make the money that they deserve in the future. So why not give these kids some type of something, you know, to live off of? They can't barely live.
At least in the work world, you get what they call a cost of living increase.
Exactly.
They don't get that. They don't get that. And at the skyrocketing rate of college football, the way people are getting paid, you know, back in 87, 88, head coaches were making $100,000, and that was a lot of money. Here we are in
2000.
Hey, the lowest assistant coach on your staff is making $100,000. The lowest. That's a tight ends coach. He's making
$100,000.
Yeah. And here we are in 2012, and we're talking about college payouts of $4.5, $2.3, $5 million in Nick Saban's situation. Man, this thing is getting outrageous. But without further ado, let's get into some of this high school football, because that college football thing is so corrupt till it's unbelievable.
That's the perfect word. Exactly, it's corrupt. Like, this is a corrupt situation, and I don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
It won't get any better. It can't get any better. If it do get any better, I guarantee you it won't be in the best interest of the student athlete. I'll bet you that. I'll bet you it won't be in the interest of them. It may be in the interest of the athletic directors. And it's always in their favor, because I look at loyalty. I look at loyalty two ways, because a lot of people don't look at it. Loyalty is what they call a two-way street. Me to you, you to me. But in college sports, it's only one way from the university down. It never goes back up, and the university understands. Like I said, I don't know if you was listening to the show earlier. As we told you, Mario Cristobal was let go today from FIU.
Okay.
Can you believe, here this guy is, one of the hottest coaches last year, and you get fired within 1 year? Auburn's coach.
FIU was what? Didn't they ball eligible last year? Pretty good, decent record. Yeah. I think I caught a couple of their games, and I'm not really familiar with that coach, but I got a chance to see his team. So, and his team is always a reflection of the coach. So they had to be a good coach, you know. FIU's not that big of a program. On top of that, and for him to get as many wins as he got last year, he was let go this year.
And then I look at Auburn coach though. I always say about Auburn coach, you 2 years away from winning a national championship, flying high, and all of a sudden now you lose your job. You lose your job, man.
What's funny about his situation is that they wasn't really looking for him to, when he was hired over there at Auburn, they really wasn't too happy about that hire. You know, so I really felt like they had it out for him from the beginning. And if he didn't have Cam Newton when he had him to win that national championship, he probably wouldn't have made it that year.
He wouldn't have made it. Because you remember they was booing him when he got off the plane at the airport.
Exactly.
They booed him.
He had it coming, man.
Do you ask yourself this question? When you're a hot coach, do you say, the heck with loyalty, I got to do what's best in the best interest of me and my family?
You know what? I honestly do say that's what you have. In this day and age, with as corrupt, like you said, as college sports is, and as cutthroat as it is, hey, you got to be in it for yourself. If you got an offer from somebody else that's going to offer you more money and more stability, hey, you got to go. Can't sit here. I'm sorry.
What do you tell a young man when you go into his home and you tell him, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be loyal to you? What do you tell that young man? That's the part.
Honestly, that's the part that's the hardest part about the situation. You done told these kids or you done told their parents, I'm going to be here with this kid, I'm going to watch out for this kid like he's my own, and then you bounce on him. Yeah, that's a tough situation, but at the same time, you have to look out for the best interests of your family.
Let me tell you something. That's what I say. That's what I say. You got to look out for the best interests of your family. And that's why I got out of the business of coaching, because I had to spend more time lying than I had to tell the truth. And it was tough for me to tell a young man a lie and look at him in the face, look his parents in the face, and I know I'm lying in the back of my mind. That's tough.
Yeah, but that's a real tough one.
That's how you live at the college level. Pretty much 70% of the stuff that come out of coaches' mouths, especially during recruiting season, is a lie. It's a lie.
Bold-faced lie.
Yeah, and they look you right in your eyes. They become like car salesmen. If you don't
really
get on
what it is, they're selling themselves, selling their universities, selling their program to these parents to get them to allow their kids to come attend a university, play football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be, whatever sport it may be, you know, even the smaller sports. But you have to lie to get the people you want, and you almost have to lie to keep your job.
Yeah, they do. They do, because, like I said, now your job depends on how an 18, 19, 20-year-old young man feels. And if these kids, I've seen it where kids say, okay, you know what, we're not playing for this guy. We're shutting down. Heck with that. And when they shut down, buddy, it's a wrap. It's over. Because now we're going to lose games on purpose. You get fired. We get somebody else in here. We don't know what we're going to get. But it's better than you. We're going to show you where the power is. And I'm going to tell you, I see it coming. It's going to come a day, especially with – see, when I was up, we didn't have all this Facebook, Instagram, all this technology to where we can communicate. It's going to come a time to where – these young men is going to step on it. It's going to be game week of college game. And all the kids going to get together at one time and say, you know what? We're not going out to play. We want changes. What kind of pressure do that put on a university when it comes to their television money? How you not tell ESPN when they got a big national championship game that the kids are not going out to play? What do you tell your viewers? Wow.
It's really nothing you can't tell them. Is it?
I say you muscle them. But that's how you muscle college football, though. That's how you muscle these guys. This is how you muscle them to make them start listening to you, guys. I'm not saying anything. I ain't saying doing. But this is how you put the muscle on them. You Debo the Debos of college sports. And I guarantee you.
You're saying they need to unionize and go on a work strike almost.
Hey, it works for hockey. It works for the NBA. It works for the NFL. Because people want to see football. People want to see these young men. You know how much money ESPN has paid the NCAA and these universities to have a product on the field? And all of a sudden, they unionize 1 week, first week of college sports, and say, you know what? We're not playing. And wait, all wait. Don't even open your hand. You guys are communicating. You say at 12:05, here you are, Alabama, LSU, get ready to kick off. And guess what? Everybody around the country say, we're not going to play football, period. Wow. Does that make a statement around the world?
It's going to take some strong-willed kids to do such a thing and like that, but it could happen.
And that's, like you said the key word, it's going to take some strong-willed kids to understand that, hey, there are sacrifices that comes with this game. I had to sacrifice some things for the kids that came behind me, but I wanted to sacrifice it so it makes something better for them. It may not work out for that kid. Now, do these parents and do these kids say, you know what? We're going to take, because I guarantee you this, it will make changes because the universities will have to look at, and we got to pay this money back to ESPN, to ABC, to NBC, because there is no product on the field. Commercials that were supposed to air during this time won't be aired. And that's what killed the NFL. There was no football. There is no commercials. You got a contract. You must live up to this contract. So we got to get the product back on the field. That's going to happen. I see it. These guys getting a union. Because it looks, where I say it's going to kick off the union, it's going to start with the concussion issue that I talked about this last week. The concussion issue. What happens? We say in the NFL that these guys are having these concussions and we got to look at paying these guys back. What happens at the college level, at the high school level, when there is no payback? When these guys don't make it to the NFL, but they have the same type of symptoms that NFL guys has, where is the payout for these guys? Where is it? There's none. Where is it? So that's what I'm saying, that union thing, it's going to come. It's going to come up, and it's going to come within the next 3 to 4 years. Because I guarantee you some kids right now thinking about it. They're thinking, because you can read them all over Facebook, they're talking about that they want to get paid. And I don't blame them. I don't blame everybody else. Everybody else's pockets get fat. Let's get into a little bit of the college game before we have to go off the air. The high school games here in Texas. I know we got a lot of them going on, but one of the biggest ones I see is Allen versus Skyline. Give me a look.
Oh, man. Well, I can already tell you that's going to be one of those games that you have to see. Like, it's going to be one of those games where they probably going to air it out. Both teams are going to air it out. And both teams going to get after you on the defense. And at the end of the day, I really think Skyline should pull this one off. Allen's always had a good team, always have good teams. They're pretty young on the offense at the quarterback position. And at the same time, Skyline's pretty seasoned at the quarterback position, not to mention that wide receiver out there, Rashard Samples, who's tearing up the Texas high school football scene totally. Probably going to have a good day, a big day. But, you know, you never know. It's always toss-up with those two teams right there because both of them come to play just about every day.
Now, I see our boy D still has his team in the playoffs. Give me a little insight on what's happening with that team, with Lamar.
What team? Oh, yeah. Darryl, yeah, they had a tight one this past week. They ended up coming out 24-7 against a fairly new team called, Fort Bend Travis. He had a pretty decent game talking about Mr. Colbert. They got the W, and they on to the – probably this is probably the furthest that Houston Lamar's has winning the playoff in probably the last, 4 or 5 years. They're actually playing a team that they played about 5 years ago in the playoffs, and they ended up losing to that team. That team went on to win state. So this could be a revenge game for Coach Tom Nolan and his Lamar Redskins team. You know, and I think that should be a pretty good one. Houston North Shore is always, you know, one of the top teams in the state. They bring a pretty big fan base out to just about every game. You know, they're gonna bring it. I haven't seen them this year play on the field, but they're 12-1. So what does that say about that team?
I'm telling you,
pretty good.
I'm
pretty good. But you know, man, what, Tony? If the game that everybody's gonna want to see is the Salt Lake Carroll game versus DeSoto High School, both of these teams are ranked top five nationally in the polls this year. And I believe, if I was reading this right, that DeSoto was ranked either number one or number two in the nation this year.
Soto was ranked number one.
Number one. Okay, yeah.
Soto was ranked number one.
Exactly. So, and Salt Lake Carroll always has great teams. Like I told you a couple of weeks ago, this is probably if they end up winning state this year, it'll be the ninth state championship. And they're playing at SMU Stadium. So that's going to be a big one. Both of them have big fan bases. And DeSoto has been complaining about not getting the opportunity to play in Cowboy Stadium.
Correct.
And they want to bring their fans want to come out, you know, and so that they can pull a big draw to their games. So I really think this is going to be probably the best game of the week in the DFW area. Two teams that have a lot of Division One talent, and they're going to sling it all over the field, and they're going to knock each other in the mouth, and we're going to see who comes out on top at the end of it. That'll be the game that I'm going to attend, 2:00 Saturday. SMU Stadium. I'll definitely be at that one.
And you know, people here on the Tony Sands Show, our listeners, we're going to bring those results to you next week. But B, don't go nowhere because I got a topic when we come out of commercial break.
Okay.
In the NFL.
I'm ready.
in the NFL, the best quarterback class 1983, 2004, or 2012. Let's get into that topic a little bit here on the Tony Sands Show after this commercial break.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Hey, listen. Look, I can get you a lot of things in life, baby. You know you need me in your life. I can get you diamond rings, everything. I can promise you a lot, but you know, sometimes life get hard and I can't follow through on everything I promise you.
Lil' mama look good, she stay fly. She ain't about no drama, she don't need it in her life. She go hard in the paint, lil' mama go home. Lil' mama look good, she stay fly. She ain't about no drama, she don't need it in her life. She go hard in the paint. She don't need no handout. She working two jobs with no man in the house. She real independent. Her hustle game's tremendous. And she ain't bout no games. She strictly by the business. She keep it real classy about how she get it. Take care of her own bills plus a few dependents. She got her head right and strong ambitions. No time for wishing. Lil' mama go and get it. Go hard in the paint. You can call her Lisa Leslie. And she don't keep too many friends and money. Be her bestie. And got a hand game for them hoes that be testing.
We're back on the Tony Sands Show, and before commercial break, we talked about which draft class of quarterbacks was the best draft class, the 2004, the 1983, or the 2012 draft class. You're here on the Tony Sands Show. If you just joining us, we're talking about quarterback classes, and also with me is my boy, Mr. Bibbs, my high school insider out of Texas, and we're going to get into this topic before we go off the air. B, Now let's look at that 2000. But no, let's go to the 1983 class. Then we'll work our way up to the present. Let's look at that 2003 class. For those that do not know what quarterbacks went in the 2003 class and what quarterbacks went where in that 1983 class. B, do you know who went the number one pick in that 83 class?
I have no idea. That's a little bit before my time. I wasn't even born yet.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, I was born in that time. You know, I was, but John Elway was the first person, the first one taken. Now, you got to remember, John Elway was drafted by the Colts, then traded to the Broncos.
Okay.
Then he was traded to the Broncos.
Okay.
And then Todd Blackledge played with the Kansas City Chiefs for about five seasons. Then he went on to Pittsburgh for 2 years. Then number 14 pick was Jim Kelly to the Buffalo Bills. Jim Kelly,
right,
in that class. You know, a guy, and you got to figure with Jim Kelly. Now, you know Jim Kelly went and played with the USFL with the Houston Gamblers.
The Houston Gunners. Gamblers, yeah. I know a little bit. I know about these players, but I just didn't know the draft
players. He went there. And then Tony Eason was the 15th pick, who was picked by the New England Patriots, spent some time with the Chicago Bears. Ken O'Brien went to the Jets, spent 11 seasons in the NFL, went to the Pro Bowl in 1985. Dan Marino was the number 27th pick to the Miami Dolphins. And Dan Marino technically was the first player taken in the USFL draft by the LA Express. He was taken by the LA Express in that same draft. Now let's move a little ahead to the 2004 class. First pick, Eli Manning. Remember, he went to the San Diego Chargers, B.
He didn't want to play there.
Yeah. Now, you know, you said a key word, he didn't want to play there.
He ain't want to play there.
That was the first player I ever seen to tell a team, to tell the NFL, I don't want to play there. And if I have to play there, I ain't signing.
He had his daddy, though. You know, his daddy was there. His brother was already playing in the NFL, so he almost had a spot already somewhere in the NFL. He's the only player that could have did that.
Hey, listen, now, you know I got to play devil's advocate right here. That's what we do on the same show. Now, if that was a minority quarterback saying, I don't want to play there, do he get the same treatment?
Tony, you know he wouldn't have got the same treatment. I'm sitting here laughing because we already know if that would have been a Warren Moon or somebody in his time that said, oh, no, I don't want to play there at that team, they probably would have never got an opportunity to play in the NFL.
No, they would have said he's arrogant. Who he think he is, everything. He would have been called everything but what his name is, and that's Warren Moon. He would have been called that. Phillip Rivers in that same draft went the number four pick. And, you know, he got drafted by the Giants and traded. They did that flip-flop thing.
Right, exactly, yeah.
They did the flip-flop thing. You know, so he flip-flopped and went on, and, you know, he's, you know, passed over 10,000 yards in his career. And in San Diego, hasn't won a championship.
Hadn't won anything, but yeah.
Big Ben was taking the number 11 pick in that draft.
Right, okay.
Super Bowl champion, Big Ben Roethlisberger. Two Super Bowls at that.
Two Super Bowls.
J.P. Lawson to the Buffalo Bills. And I know, I'm saying the same thing, but I didn't want to. We look at those two draft classes because we got to look at them. Those two draft classes. Out of those two draft classes, and now we're talking about the quarterback draft class of 2012. And we done had some, these guys, this 2012 draft class, these boys are playing
some ball, right?
They making coaches change their philosophy on you can't lose your job to an injury. Boy, hey, that's old cliche, because right now, you're seeing what San Francisco is saying. Yeah, you still our quarterback, but we're going with the hot hand. You look at that Seattle. You look at Miami. Man, these guys are playing some ball. These quarterbacks are playing some heck of a football. Out of those two classes, out of those three classes, which class would you say is the better class?
Oh, man. Okay, well, I got the opportunity to see Mr. John Elway play later in his career. Later, like, was that the late 90s? He won the Super Bowls. I really didn't really get a chance to see many of those other players play, so I really can't speak on them. As far as that second draft class you talked about, I count with that four Super Bowls between two of the two quarterbacks, which is that Mr. Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. And then now we're speaking about RG3, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill. And all these kids right now are winning ball games in the NFL. I'm going to have to go with draft class probably number two, the second one you said, just because of the Super Bowls.
Correct.
If Dan Marino would have been able to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl with the Dolphins back in the day, then maybe I would have went with that one. But because Eli and Mr. Roethlisberger has the four Super Bowls combined, I'm gonna say draft class number two, Tony.
All right, I'm going with the 2012 draft class, and that's all we have here on the Tony Sands Show. That's me, my boy, Mr. Bibbs, coming at you each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show, and we'll wrap up. So we thank you, listeners, for listening to us. You continue to listen to us as we bring you the knowledge of the sports world. Thank you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.